Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Bernstein and McKnight broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, home of the Tucson and Santa Fe Sport. Matt Miller of Bleacher Report is going to join us at 10. Patrick Royce of the Minneapolis Star Tribune at 10:40. Midday Midway at 11. Patrick Manley a day early at 11:40. Hub Arkush is yours today. He takes your calls at noon. And we've got three opportunities for you to win $1,000 in cash with a lucky text today on this very show between now and 1 o'clock. 312-644-6767. That's our telephone number at WSCR The Score. You email us at Bernstein and McKnight at 670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live as we stream at 670thescore.com. You can text at 67011. If you do, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter is at Bernstein_MCK. He's at C1 McKnight. Mm-hmm. I am at Dan_Bernstein. You also should download the radio.com app that helps you stream The Score on your various mobile devices. You can interact with the show and the station on Facebook. You have to like the 670 The Score page to be a part of that conversation. You can also see us via these cameras. Right. It's our video feed, and that is at watch670thescore.com and Facebook Live. It is directed by Brian Gertz. The producers are Jay Zawoski.
I was thinking this as I was watching the Red Sox celebrate just a few feet away from me, because I was sitting really close to the Red Sox dugout. Actually, I could see into the Red Sox dugout. I was sitting with Mike Levine from CAA and a couple of folks, his father, and a couple of other people.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
Really?
People know me.
Well, I'm very happy for you.
I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
I was very close to the Red Sox. I was in the Red Sox. I was managing the Red Sox last night.
I was playing center field for the Red Sox.
I was out there.
I owned the Red Sox.
I used to be Ted Williams. That's why.
The man on the wheels of steel is Rick Camp.
Chutzpah. What I want to give to you is the full Jewish experience, a Jewish combine. What is in front of you right now?
Sushi.
It is smoked salmon.
Cream cheese and fish? I don't like it.
Matzah ball soup.
Mozzarella.
Mozzarella, not the same thing.
No cheese in there?
There's no cheese.
Well, that's good. Fried chicken noodle soup, really.
What do you think schmooze means?
Good sleep.
A schmooze is actually to like kind of talk somebody up.
You schmooze, you win.
Kinda. All right, next word.
Tariq Cohen was supposed to run the slant route, and he ran the go route. Oy vey, Tariq Cohen.
That's the one I'm going to use right there.
You have aced the Jewish combine. I give you a Chicago Bears yarmulke.
A Jewish fitted cap.
A Jewish fitted cap.
Welcome. Welcome, Tariq. Get the blessings of the high priest, a member of the Kohanim. That was great. That's on Sims and Lefko. I actually got
really good.
I got an email from a Bernstein and McKnight listener who was in the deli as that was going on and was watching the whole thing go down and just was entertained by
Cohen did
by
well with it. That whole.
See,
Jewish fitted cap.
The Jewish combine is one thing. It's not the Jewish triathlon.
What is? Pray tell the Jewish triathlon.
Golf, lunch, and a nap.
Oy vey.
It's a bye week activity for him, though.
Yeah, but that's good for him. So I think we need to do some work. We got him his customized Jewish fitted cap.
You know, when he says out loud fish and cream cheese with the kind of disgust that he does, and then, you know, because they had the bagel, the lox, and the salmon, and the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
When he says out loud fish and cream cheese like that, it made me think twice about liking it as much as I do.
When you think, well, wait a second, he's right. It does. Cheese. When you say it like that,
it
sounds a little odd. In the back, doing what he does as only he can, he is the Mexicutioner. He's Ray Diaz.
Adam, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, Wes. Justin Holliday had a nice game, and I thought the rookie Michael Carter Williams, the first round pick, had a pretty decent showing. Two players I wanted to ask you about, Wes, that I always liked were I didn't see him play at all, or I don't even know if they're on the roster for the preseason is Paul Zipser and Laverne.
Josh Levine?
Jaffrey Laverne. I think his name was Laverne, not Laverne and Shirley, but his last name was Laverne. And then Paul Zipser. I didn't even see them.
You're not talking about Lauri Markkanen, are you?
No, I know Lauri Markkanen's hurt.
Unfortunately, he'll be out about as much as 2 weeks. Just looking at the names that you mentioned, I don't see them on the roster.
All right.
Okay.
So not on the roster.
They're not. The addled talking to the befuddled. I mean, it really is. It's just,
no.
Some of these conversations that occur deep into the Chicago night are...
If you saw Jabari Parker play defense the way he played
Josh
defense,
Levine?
Two or three times, you might have thought it was Josh Levine or Jeffrey Laverne or Laverne and Shirley. Yeah. It's entirely possible that you confused that man for any one of those names and people.
We have some breaking news from Minneapolis.
We do?
Tom Thibodeau has canceled practice today. There will be no media availability. There will be no Timberwolves practice today.
There will be a part two, however, of a sit-down with Jimmy Butler and Rachel Nichols. That is scheduled to occur.
Well, the beat writer from The Athletic there in Minneapolis, John Krasinski, says the all-star who wants out just caused a scene in practice, then aired his grievances nationally, and the Timberwolves call off practice and have no availability to address it, to downplay it, to say anything at all.
Go Bears!
At some point, through all that nonsense, there is a tacit endorsement of his behavior.
Any coach that I've been around... the moment a guy shows up an hour late to practice, you say, you know what, here, come here.
Don't worry about it.
Come to my office.
Right.
There's a meeting in the office, and he goes home. That's it.
An hour late.
That is it. He does not get to then do whatever he wants in the middle of a scrimmage and use it as his personal wrestling show.
You don't think for a brief moment he walked into the gym an hour late or whatever, and they were so overjoyed to see him? They thought, oh, he's back, and the relationship is fixed. He doesn't want the trade anymore. And then he rips the snap-off pants off and just MFs everybody up and down the court.
I've never been around any coach worth anything that would have allowed that to happen.
What does it say about where they're at as a franchise then? Because...
I don't know. I am disconnected logically in this. I'm adrift because I can't really figure out what's happening here. There's a section from the interview. And Chris Hine, our old buddy, who's now covering sports in Minneapolis, he put this up. Butler says, it's not about money. It's not. Rachel Nichols says, so tell me what it's about. Butler says, it's about saying we need you. We want you here. We can't do this without you. That was the disconnect all along.
They traded for him.
They traded for him, and he's trying to get traded, I thought. You're the one that's demanding a trade. How can you now want them to come to you and say that they need you? And why are you swearing at the general manager, screaming, you can't win without me, you can't win without me, when you're trying to get traded?
None of it makes any sense. All he's doing is lashing out every way he can and not making any sense on the way doing it. He tells Rachel Nichols that he's just being honest. How can you fault me for being honest? A lot of ways I could fault you for being honest if this is going to be the behavior that you're going to end up going through. If you want the trade, don't couch this thing with, this is just who I am when I'm competing. That's nonsense. Just tell everybody you want to trade. You've already said it. You've already said it's not working out. Don't tell me that this is leadership for Karl Anthony Towns or Andrew Wiggins, because you should have learned, that over the last year, they don't accept leadership in this way. They're not the kind of guys who do that. Few people would be the kind of players who would accept leadership distributed that way.
I've never seen anything quite like this. And we've seen some meltdowns. We have seen some me-first players. We've seen Terrell Owens. We've seen Brandon Marshall. But I don't know that I've seen a player allowed to do something quite like this. Allowed to use the media, use the team, use other players only to aggrandize whatever it is he thinks he's doing in this particular act, this whole bit that he's manufactured.
If he wants the out and if he wants that trade, whether it's Miami or somebody else, sure, the price is now bargain basement, right? I mean, at this point, he's torched any kind of value the Timberwolves can get back for him. But what's to say in a front office that if he shows up there and they've got a Wiggins or a Karl Anthony Towns, a guy that doesn't respond to Jimmy Butler just being crazy, that he doesn't pull the same kind of act once he gets there.
Right.
If you're a general manager, you have to have that in the back of your mind, or hell, the front of your mind.
I'm not sure exactly what his ultimate goal is. Is he want a decent amount of money and be a 25-point-a-game scorer on a terrible team and just have full space command of everything and just have people at his beck and call and be allowed to do whatever the hell he wants? Or does he actually want to win a title on a good team when we know and we've seen that it's about stars sacrificing to do that? It's about people becoming part of a cohesive whole, accepting a role, accepting all kinds of responsibility, and not just being a complete loon. It's like somebody, he's learned a lot of wrong lessons about how to be an NBA star is what it looks like.
I think it's the former and not the latter. With Jimmy Butler, I think it's the former, not the latter. He wants to be told that he's wanted. And whether that's with a trade that Tom Thibodeau orchestrated for him, or whether that's with a giant contract on a team that's going nowhere, I think that's the way he wants to be told he's wanted, which is fine. He's just making it less likely for those things to happen in the time frame he wants them to happen in. He'll get his money, sure. At some point, assuming he doesn't get himself hurt, he's going to get the money. It's a player's league. That's the way this works. He's using whatever leverage he can. He's just not using it well.
Every report, though, has Thibodeau did not want to trade him. He wanted him to play out the season. So why not, if you're Jimmy Butler and the trade as soon as possible is important, why not make it untenable so that the owner goes to Tibbs and says, I don't care, get him out of town? The owner's already just castrated him, essentially.
And why does he tell the team, you need me, and says that he wants to be needed?
Because you want the guys there to realize, yes, I am the best player here. It's not Karl Anthony Towns. I'm the best player here. You don't have to take every word literally.
I'm just not quite sure how that advances his goal of getting traded.
Because he's showing everybody, listen, I have what it takes. These guys don't. His perfect world, I bet part of the reason he wants out is because they know they won't trade Towns. Like in that interview with Rachel Nichols, he said it could be fixed, but it won't. Because for it to be fixed for him, that would mean shipping out Karl Anthony Towns.
He says,
I bet if they did that, he would stay.
He says, you need me
for big money.
He says, you need me and you can't win without me because it keeps him in the center.
Right.
That's why he says, you need me, you can't win without me.
It's an ego trip.
Of course it is. And those words, all they do is keep him at the center of that ego trip.
Yeah, I'm just not sure the value to his overall brand is ends up being a positive.
Well, when
one
he's in the middle
like
of owning Karl Anthony Towns on the court, I don't think he's probably thinking that clearly. He's not thinking about each word he's saying, like, we are here in this setting.
Well, this is an orchestrated thing. The whole thing was pre-planned. The entire thing,
right?
Was
but not every word was pre-planned.
Well, this is.
Why stop there, though? I mean, if you're going to organize the interview and organize the behavior in practice, then why not organize the words?
Yeah, he knew what he was going to say. He had a lot of stuff. I mean, this was all it's a bit. It's a work.
Okay, you know? Then even if you take that at its word, it's his last ditch effort to say, you know what, get rid of this guy. You know I'm more important. Get rid of this guy. I can guard him in the post in his place, and I will stone him cold. So get rid of him.
Right. Even though he knows
so that's why
not.
So that's why he's saying, you need me. You need me. Get rid of this bum.
How does Tom Thibodeau process any of this? I'd be fascinated to know.
I don't even know if he does. I think, you know what he does? He goes back and watches film. He sits in a dark room.
Right.
He watches film, and he's game planning for the next
and
opponent.
And sees what Jimmy can do for him.
But he's just thinking about who's available for me in the next game. And how in the next possession do we stop our upcoming opponent from scoring? That's what Thibodeau does.
So in a sense then, and I think Rick's right, I think power has been taken from Tom Thibodeau. I think you're right, Rick, in that there's not a whole lot left for him to do. But that said, all he's going to end up doing is trying to make this untenable situation work because I don't know that he understands it's untenable. Or he cares if it's untenable. It's up to other people to decide that for Tibbs.
Doesn't canceling practice go itself as a sign of him realizing this isn't good?
Tibbs canceled practice, but I don't think he's the guy who did it.
But when you think about it, maybe the best thing that happens to Thibodeau is he gets fired and he gets all his money. He's got a lot of money, and he's not going to walk away from it. The only way he gets, $20 million, whatever it is somebody has to actually tell him to leave. So he would be incentivized to be fired. Okay, whatever. I just, being in his head is no fun, trying to figure out whatever this is. I just can't get past the fact that a guy shows up an hour late to practice and you let him practice.
I can't allow for the emotion of a practice overtaking what has clearly been an orchestrated, 6 months? I'm not buying that. I can't buy that.
It takes advantage of – this is almost like the Baltimore Orioles where nobody knows who's running anything. You've got a nominal GM in Scott Layden, who's a pretty well-respected guy around the NBA. Mm-hmm. You have Thibodeau, who was given personnel power, again, by title. He was good, like basketball operations, whatever it was. And then you have an owner in Glenn Taylor who – from league circles, when you hear everybody saying, he talks as if he's in charge of personnel. So if Butler's got to MF everybody there and he's got to, he doesn't know where the power lies. You know, this reminds me of all the stuff we heard coming out of the Orioles, which is the biggest mess in baseball of nobody knowing when the phone rang, if the person who was talking to you was speaking from a position of power or not.
It's getting worse too. We're going to talk about it a little later on in the show, but those who have left the Orioles have taken the blade to the organization. And you have to imagine that that's exactly what would happen once Jimmy Butler gets traded, because I think that probably ends up happening, right? I mean, at this point, he's created a situation where the guy who wants to practice most, the guy who will not stop running drills and looking at tape and figuring out how to win the next possession has actually canceled a practice.
The fact that the team is hiding is hilarious. Well, yeah, we don't know if Thibodeau canceled practice. It could have been Taylor. It could have been Layden?
That's the other thing. Butler might not be wrong about who Karl Anthony Towns is or who Wiggins is. He might not be wrong about the kind of players they are or their ability to lead or their give-a-damn being broken. You know, that's something he could be right about. But clearly going about things the way he has means he wants only one thing, and that's for him to get out into the best situation. And normally, as pro player as I tend to be, I support that. I get behind that. I understand that a player's leverage is limited to his availability on the court or on the field or on the diamond or whatever. But this is just scorched earth. That's all this is.
And if his goal is to go to the Nets and, you know, be a 24-point-a-game scorer, guy's 29. And he's probably, in dog years, more like 32 when you look at the minutes that the guy's played. And if really that's what you want? You want to go get your $175 million or whatever? I don't think they can offer. I think $140 or whatever it is now, if it's another team that offers him the max. But you get his bird rights now if you trade for him, right?
I think so.
I think the whole idea, the idea of doing it now means he becomes your own free agent,
right?
And you can go well over the cap to sign him. But do you want to commit a quarter of your payroll to him now? What team with any designs on anything now wants to do that?
There would be somebody who convinces themselves of it. It might take somebody like Tom Thibodeau who sees things only in that through that lens. It might take a team that is that obsessed or that crazy or that myopic to make that offer and to sign that sheet. But there's somebody in the NBA who does it.
You know, and the people were leading us to this. A lot of the whispers around Butler as he was getting good, a lot of the talk around him was, hey, you know, was it Joakim? I'm trying to remember who it was that was saying, you know, Jimmy, this is, he thinks he's really kind of a superstar. You know, people were, this happened rather quickly.
I would think that too.
It's happened, and we saw this coming. I think the Bulls saw it coming too when they dealt him. Or they'd already seen it there rather than coming. They'd already seen it starting to manifest itself.
Does that completely fix the issues there, though? I mean, does his reveal or his willingness, because perhaps it's not a reveal, but his willingness to go to these lengths, how much does that actually change of prior history? How much does that actually start to turn the tide on what was done, what wasn't done, and how that team operated then? Because I think it does some.
After the fact, you're saying retroactively?
Yeah, I think it does some, but I don't know that it's an excuse.
I don't know. I don't even think trading him now helps the Timberwolves all that much, considering what this all did. Like, how do you look if you're a current player on the roster? They move him for whatever, and you're Karl-Anthony Towns, or you're Wiggins, and whoever's there, the various bits and pieces of Lou Dang and Gibson and Derrick Rose. I mean, look who's on that
here,
look who's on
there.
That team. Or Gorgie Jang. And you, it's like, you, coach, you let that happen? Or you wanted that to happen? This, you let your practice be compromised and hijacked for a guy's personal little ego show?
It's a shot season.
Right.
It's a shot season. And this is where, you know, Butler might be right about two things. That the only way it's not a shot season is if he plays for them. And even then, the obstacles you're trying to jump over to make that a successful basketball team are set incredibly high. You'd have to have a lot of people put aside a lot of things, which he's already told you won't happen. Or you trade him for nothing, and then you're not winning either because you've shot through the confidence of at least two of your star players.
The 217 says, I wonder if Butler thinks he wants to be in Los Angeles next year. It would be a rude awakening for him when LeBron puts him in his place every day. Well, I don't think LeBron wants anything to do with him. I don't. Although,
yeah, LeBron, but that roster is put together of a couple
say,
of guys that LeBron has previously not wanted anything to do
true.
With.
That's true, and LeBron has decided to embrace the misfit toys. Maybe,
looks that way.
Maybe that's his new thing, that he figures that he is his power, his strength, his ability is enough to harness the mercurial nature of all of these.
It has been before.
His own personal Avengers.
Granted, he was 10 years younger, but he has before.
We'll see. 312-644-6767. Want to know what you think in advance of Matt Miller, who's going to join us at the top of the hour. It is autumn in Chicago, so there's plenty of football talk and some basketball things. It's other people's problems today is the theme on Sports Radio 670, The Score. I don't know that people know you to do much of anything other than act a fool. It's like
you're, and for yourself.
Right.
And for yourself. That's fine. There's plenty of me first talent in the NBA. There's a lot of me first guys in pro sports. I think we're cool with that.
When somebody like Boogie Cousins wants to win a championship so badly that he's taking well under market value to just join a team considered to be the best in the league, that's DeMarcus Cousins.
Think about what this league gives you.
He only did that because of the Achilles, though.
Well, I think it's part of it.
He had to do it.
He didn't have to do it.
Yeah, but New Orleans admitted that they didn't offer him near as much money.
Right, but he's still...
For sure.
If he had rehabbed, he could get himself in a better situation than probably was offered there. I mean, especially playing time and the whole thing. I mean, it's amazing to me. It's like Butler was given an incomplete guide to how to be a superstar athlete. And it's like he sort of picked and chose aspects of it without really trying to sit down and think what his ultimate goal was.
It's as though he was somehow taken by people who resent the super team in the NBA. You know, the idea that Bird and Magic would have never done this, joined forces with each other, Michael would have never recruited or anything like that. It's as though he heard those things and then didn't think about the next five steps in making that happen for himself. If he ever wanted to, you know, if we're going to throw as much shade as a lot of NBA fans have at the Warriors, at the Rockets, at the Celtics of the mid-2000s, you know, any of these teams that put themselves together and were de facto super teams, whether they won it or not, Jimmy's acting completely contrary to that factor, right? I mean, he got traded to a place he wanted. Probably wanted out of Chicago. It was understandable that was done. I believe went to a place with two young players that might have been something, but it wasn't a super team the way they've been constructed.
He was brought in to be an example.
He was.
He was brought in to watch some of these younger
lead.
Some of these maybe more entitled younger players. He said, "Watch how hard this guy works." That was the idea in bringing him in. Look what he can do. Look how he can lead. Look by example. Look what he does. And nothing stuck, nothing took. I mean, injuries kind of got in the way as well, mm-hmm. but they never really thought that he was there to be a part of something that involved them, because Butler made up his mind on those guys that he wasn't there to try to cultivate them or help them grow. He just sort of dismissed them.
He can't suit up for the Timberwolves, right?
I don't think so.
He can't. There is no functional way that happens
then
this season,
then I'm not offering anything for him. So it may be that the market decides for you. It may be if teams like, oh, look, they got to move him, so we're not giving up Josh Richardson.
Oh, hell no.
You know, we're not going to do this. There's some third team to jump in there. They're thinking they have to construct some elaborate chain of events to make this go down. Why? What if he's got to come back? What if they cannot move him and they've got absolutely no choice but to play it out?
That you keep him away from the team? I mean, he got him to cancel practice today. He got Tom Thibodeau, of all people, to accept a cancellation of practice. That alone tells you that there's plenty of ripples going on through this organization right now.
The 630 texter says, you know that Thibodeau's smart. You know he's the alpha dog in the organization. He cares about Jimmy too much. He still thinks they'll win together. Like a mother that allows the kids to act up because they love them unconditionally. That's what's going on. I don't think so.
I also don't think
Thibodeau's clearly not the alpha dog of the organization. They don't have one.
He's just not. Jimmy Butler's trying to take alpha dog status and doing it in such a way that you know, probably the only way he knows how, but at the same time, he has no control over the situation, only his attitude when he shows up and whether he shows up.
I mean, I've been through other situations where there have been players who have pushed the boundaries. Dennis Rodman was late to a lot of practices. Dennis Rodman drank a lot and overslept a lot, and they would send somebody to go wake him up.
Sure.
And they would bring him there, but they wouldn't let him. And usually it was enough of a connection there as long as Michael was involved and as Phil said, Mike, you know, assumed that Jordan would take care of some of this stuff. They tolerated what Rodman was doing because they were in a completely different place as an organization. And it wasn't that Rodman was using being late to practice to stage some sort of event just for him at a practice.
No, I mean, at the end of the day, he wanted to be there.
Mm-hmm. He was just too drunk.
Well, he got too drunk. That's clearly not a fact.
Or his alarm clock didn't work.
Well,
some days he just wasn't there, and they made it not a thing. The Bulls might have their own kind of thing with Jabari, though. I'm getting a little concerned.
Are you irpy?
It's just it's clear that there's going to be a maintenance issue with his level of happiness.
I'm willing to dismiss some of his unhappiness after last night's preseason game where he came off the bench and then didn't talk to reporters afterward. I'm willing to dismiss some of this as preseason stuff, mostly because of the way Fred Hoiberg has talked about it, mostly because of the fact that he said he's going to rotate some guys through and experiment a little bit in the preseason, which is what you ought to do. But I think you're right in that offensively. I mean, if you're asking what you're asking them to do, if you're asking for all of those points because of defensive ineptitude or inability, the idea that you've got to stagger enough of these guys as is means you might be better if Jabari Parker is coming off the bench. But how much better? You know, is there a point where you just lean into the fact that you don't play defense? Try and throw up 130 a night?
Yeah, we're going to have to expand the Doug McDermott rule. The Doug McDermott rule, after I saw him try to play defense, was that he's allowed to use nunchucks. That no one else is, but when Doug comes into the game, he gets back on that end of the floor.
Yep.
Somebody hands him a pair of nunchucks, and he's just allowed to just flail
whip
them.
Whip those things around.
Anybody is their way into the lane.
Anything under the belt?
Whatever you want.
Just any.
So we may have to figure that out for Zach LaVine, for Jabari, for Antonio Blakeney. No, different things.
Like throwing stars and size, and bow staff, just all the weapons of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I'm open to anything. I was also thinking more of a spy hunter kind of thing where you get like a little squeeze bottle with extra virgin olive oil.
Okay.
And you can just sort of go.
Just right there on the block?
Yeah, just as soon as the guy puts his foot down, you just squeeze a little thin layer of olive oil under his shoe. Whoa, hey, you know?
He played defense last night at least two or three times. We texted.
He made it look like he was trying.
Stayed in front of a Sabonis up and under, managed to cover it, and forced a missed shot. Nearly choked on dinner.
There's an email from Rudy who says, Connor, you asked a good question, and I think what's going on in Minnesota does absolve Garpax in a way. Jimmy Macho Man Butler cutting wrestling promos, Fibs letting his balls get removed the same way he did with Derrick Rose's personal trainer. And even yesterday, and I missed this, Derrick said, quote, what I am doing right now is history in my own world. Did he really say that?
Wait. I don't know what that means.
I don't know what it's Derek, so I rarely understand what whatever the hell he's talking
about.
Probably that he's made his way back to a point where he's a rotational player in the NBA again from all the injuries he's had.
Oh, history is like it's historic.
Yeah. Well, it's not like he said in history. He said, yeah, in his world.
No, no. I thought he was saying that this is like history repeating itself or something. Without the context, I wasn't quite sure if he was talking about his own season or Jimmy Butler coming back.
You always get a headache trying to figure out what Derek is talking about.
So I should stop now?
Yeah. And Rudy notes, in retrospect, if I were John Paxson, I also would only have come out to talk to David Schuster at 4 a.m. on Christmas morning. it was not easy. It was a very, very strange place. The dynamics here were really, really weird. So Bovada's got a prop bet on Jimmy Butler. The over-under for games Butler plays for Minnesota, it's mostly about the Bulls win total here. 27.5. That's for this season, the prop on games that Butler plays for Minnesota.
I think we should make our first show bet.
We don't do show bets. That's
but we show. Can. We can do it. I mean, it's not as though there's some sort of...
I defer to you.
Well, you've got to have a $10 in those pants, right? I mean, you haven't worn them in decades, so they've got to have some sort of leftover currency from like the Old West
it's
or something.
Gold! I have Confederate money in here, actually.
Those pants are... The pleats have pleats. That's how old those pants are.
Yeah, they still fit.
Honestly, seriously, as much crap as I'm giving you for the pants, that's commendable.
I'm not getting rid of pants.
No, they fit.
Right. At a certain point, there's no need to get new pants unless these disappear.
Where are we at on the finding money, though, in those pockets?
Or you expand. Maybe that's just me.
Personally, I actually expand?
So the pants are a little more irrelevant.
No, because I'm still wearing, look, I've got two suits that I bought in 1993.
Double-breasted.
No, it's a single-breasted, perfectly normal.
See, that's what you got to do. You got to buy suits that carry the style through.
You buy it's a charcoal gray pinstripe suit.
That's a good-looking suit.
It's been fine.
Still fits?
Still fits, absolutely.
In the chest and the arms
everything?
And everything?
Everything fits the same way it did in 1993.
That's impressive.
Because I went through a period where things didn't, and then I kind of got back there.
I didn't know. You expanded at some point?
Look at my wedding photos. Just doughy. I was just carrying.
Just kind of bigger?
I looked kind of like a...
Water weight?
No, fat weight.
No, that was fat.
No, like the big face and just the extra. And then, you get the knee injury and the doctor says, you know what, if you want an artificial knee, you can carry extra weight or you can strip off all the weight and be a little more healthy.
The knee injury motivated you to lose weight.
Turn a negative into a positive.
Well,
yeah, because he said, look, if you want an artificial knee, carry around more weight than you need.
You should call Tom Thibodeau. Tell him to turn that negative into a positive.
I don't even know if he knows what to do other than just cancel practice. We're going to talk football, college football, pro football, all of it, scouting guys, looking at names and people and things across the football landscape with no less an authority than Matt Miller. Next on The Score. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly Auto Parts.